John's Gospel, chapter 21. And our text for this evening is at verse 6. John 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We announced that our subject for this evening, as we consider this miracle of Christ in the last of the series, we announced our subject tonight as the restoration of backsliders. And here the Lord wrought a miracle to bring the backsliding disciples, to draw them back to himself. Following his resurrection, the Lord Jesus, according to the scriptures, made 12 public appearances before he ascended to his heavenly Father in glory. 12 public appearances, according to the record of Scripture. Of those 12 appearances, this one that we have before is that we read about there in verse 1, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. It's interesting that this appearance is number 7, is the 7th out of the 12. Now, I know it says there in verse 14 that this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, but then he showed himself to others. Apart from the disciples, for example, he showed himself to Mary Magdalene on resurrection morning. So this is number 7 of the Lord's public appearances after his resurrection. And then when you look at the number of the disciples to whom he appeared unto, you find there are 7 of them also. We read in verse 2, there were gathered together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and 2 other of his disciples. So the Lord appeared unto 7 disciples there at the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself. The Sea of Tiberias is the same as the Sea of Galilee. We know that from John chapter 6 and verse 1. Because there we read, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, something interesting about the name Galilee. For Galilee means a circle. And how significant that is. Because as the Lord showed himself unto the 7 disciples there at the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias, their lives had gone a complete circle. For we find that the 7 disciples were right back where they started. For over in Matthew's Gospel, and there in the chapter 4, the Lord was walking along the shores of Galilee, and he saw men fishing, and he saw others mending their nets. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 19, the verse of Scripture, incidentally, was used of God to call me into the ministry. And here they are, after receiving that call, approximately 3 to 3.5 years later, where are they? They're back where they started. They're back at the Sea of Galilee. Their lives had turned a complete circle. Isn't that the way it is with some? They've not made much spiritual progress because they have got away from the Lord. And they're back where they started. Oh, they promise and even attempt to do things for the Lord, but it never really materializes. They never go through with it. And they're back at their own Sea of Galilee. They're back where they started. So it was with these disciples. For the Lord Jesus showed himself to the 7 disciples. He showed himself unto them, and he had come to rescue them from their faltering ways. If you like, he had come to restore those 7 backsliders, because that's what they were, as we will see this evening. We notice, first of all, the disappointment of the disciples. The disappointment. We're given the names of 5 of the 7 disciples, and then it says 2 other of his disciples. There were men who had disappointed themselves. But more seriously, they had disappointed the Lord. Because we have here, first of all, the fallen disciples. These were men who had fallen far from what the Lord had called them to. He had called them to service, as we said, Matthew 4:19, the Lord had said to some of the 7, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm calling you away to be fishers of men. I'm calling you to follow me. Not only were they called to follow and be fishers of men, the Lord gave them other work to do. In Matthew chapter 10, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 7, and as ye go, the Lord said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's what they had been called to do. They had been called to serve the Lord. What were they doing now? They were back where they started. They were not serving the Lord. When they went back to the Sea of Galilee, and we say to ourselves, well, where is the power now? The Lord said, ye shall receive power. Where's the power now? And where is their preaching now? They're not preaching. They're back at the fishing. There's Simon Peter. What had he done? He had denied the Lord. What had the others done? They'd all deserted the Lord. When the shepherd was taken, the sheep were scattered. They'd all deserted the Lord. And there they all are, back at the Sea of Galilee. back at sea. You know, when someone is confused and they're not too sure about what they're doing or what they're going to do, we often say about that individual, oh, they're all at sea. They're all at sea. They don't know what they're doing and they don't know what they're going to do. That phrase could apply to the seven disciples. They're all at sea. They're at sea physically. They're going fishing. They're at sea emotionally. They don't know what their next step is, what they're going to do. They've been called to serve the Lord, but they're not serving the Lord back at the Sea of Galilee. And they're all at sea spiritually. No doubt they wondered where they stood with the Lord after what they had done. What were they going to do after they'd failed the Lord? Was their ministry finished? I believe that's what they thought, because that's why they went back to the fishing. Was their ministry finished? Would their master have them back again after all that they had done? And we are told in the verse 2 again, there were together. That's right. They were together. That's the way it is. Someone who's backslidden in heart, they're not going to be with spiritually minded people. They'll be together with others who perhaps are backslidden as well, with others that they can agree with. So here they were, seven disciples, seven men who had been called to serve the Lord, and there they were. They didn't know whether their ministries were finished. And would the Lord have them back again? The fact that they were all together was really cold comfort. Being together at that time. But what could they do? What would they do? Well, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 14. Solomon says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What's Peter and the others doing now? They're filled with their own ways. They're walking in their own ways. They're back at the fishing. But Peter, the Lord called you to be a fisher of men. The Lord called you, Peter, to be a soul winner. He's back at the fishing. Backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And the hearts of the seven disciples were indeed filled with their own ways, not with the ways of God. Not only do we have here the fallen disciples, we have here the fishing disciples. We read there in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. So you see, Peter hasn't changed much in the fact he's first to speak. He's the first to speak. And will often speak for the other disciples, and here he does the same. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. So all seven went fishing. No, not for the souls of men. They went back to the Sea of Galilee. The life had gone a complete circle, back where they started. Here you have, with regard to the fishing disciples, you have, first of all, the proposal came from Simon Peter. I go a fishing. I find it interesting that some Bible commentators actually commended Peter and the others for going back to the fishing. They didn't believe that they were wrong in returning to the fishing. Different arguments that are used, saying, well, these men had to make a living. But I'm afraid, in my humble opinion, I do not agree with that. I don't think these men can be commended for what they did. Here Peter proposed, I go a-fishing. But that's not what the Lord called Peter to do, except to be a fisher of men. He and his brother Andrew were called to be fishers of men. Then later the Lord said, another incident. The Lord said in Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Listen. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They brought their ships to land and they forsook all and followed him. But we come to John 21. And where are they? First of all, they're back at the Sea of Galilee where they had been first called. They're back at the Sea of Galilee. They're back to their nets. They're back to their ship. And they're back to their fishing. Instead of fishing for the souls of men, Peter and the others are back at the fishing for fish. I do not see any area here where Peter and the others can be commended for what they did. Instead, I see this whole episode to be something that's very sad. Very sad to see men like Peter and James and John and Thomas and Nathaniel and the others leaving what they had been called to do and going back to the Sea of Galilee. I think of the words of Paul. Ye did run well. And they did run well for 3 years or so while they followed the Master. Ye did run well, Paul said to the Galatian church. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Christ is the truth. You have, as well as the proposal, you have the promptness. You'll notice that whenever Peter said, I go a-fishing, there was no hesitation on the part of the other disciples. Peter said, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And then you look on down the verse, and they went forth and entered into a ship, listen, immediately. I go a-fishing. They said, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship, and they did it immediately. Immediately. They obviously did not give any thought to their actions. in light of what the Lord had called them to do. They did not give any thought to the Lord's word, to the Lord's calling, what he had called them to do, to be fishers of men. But then, as we are reminded again of those words of Solomon in Proverbs 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. They didn't give any thought to the Lord's way, to the Lord's word. God's way was not, it would appear, in all their thoughts at that time. I believe those disciples felt, as far as service for the Lord was concerned, it was finished. I believe those disciples felt their ministries were finished. That's why they went back to the fishing. They didn't go and seek the Lord for forgiveness. As we will see, the Lord came to them. The backslider does not, of course, consider the Lord's word. Doesn't consider the Lord's will. Doesn't consider the Lord's ways. Because they're filled with their own ways. So we've seen the fallen disciples, the fishing disciples, and then the failed disciples. They had already failed. Remember what Peter said? The Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. What did Peter say? It was as if he didn't hear the Lord. Lord, I will go with thee. Even to prison, even to death. I'll do that. And here he is. No, he's not following the Lord. And when Peter was challenged about being one of the Lord's disciples, well, we know what happened. He was a failed disciple, as we all fail. Certainly, Peter's failure was public. And here we have them as if things just gradually got worse and worse. That's the way it is with a backslider. It's not an upward trend, it's a downward trend. Because we're told there in the verse 3, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Their experience was a night and nothing. A night and nothing. There they were at the end of a night's fishing. There they were with empty hearts, empty hands, empty nets, and an empty ship. It was a night and nothing. It labored all night, nothing to show for it. They've had this experience before. For over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, there we read in verse 5, or rather verse 4, then, now when he had left speaking, the Lord said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Read carefully those words. The Lord said to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You notice something there? The Lord said to Simon Peter, let down your nets, plural. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. Peter, you see, didn't really believe he would catch anything. What was the point in letting down a number of nets? He just let down one net. And here is Peter, along with the others, and once again, that former experience comes back to them. They toiled all night and they've caught nothing. It was not until they put the Lord in control of their labors did they catch anything. See, they had toiled all the night, but the Lord wasn't there. They were laboring in their own strength. They were filled with their own ways. And now here we have this fishing venture. And they had toiled all the night, they'd fished all night. Nothing. See, when you're out of step with the Lord, your life's not very fruitful spiritually. It's only when you're in step with the Lord. And as far as these disciples were concerned, all was dark. There was with them a spiritual emptiness, an emptiness that only Christ could fill. So we have considered the disappointment of the disciples. We look then, secondly, at the directive for the disciples. That long, dark, disappointing night was about to come to an end. But with no fish in the net, their labors had all been in vain. And then suddenly, a stranger appears on the shore. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Notice here, first of all, the arrival of Christ. The arrival of Christ. The disciples, as we've already pointed out and said, I'm sure these disciples wondered, had they any future with the Lord? Were their ministries finished? Could they ever be trusted to serve the Lord again? That's why they went back to the fishing. And yet here we have the arrival of the Lord. As we said before, they didn't go seeking the Lord. The Lord came seeking them. The one who had been offended. Christ was the offended one. And yet the offended one came seeking the offenders. Isn't that just like him? So he hadn't left them. He hadn't abandoned them. Instead, he came seeking them. The arrival of Christ, the Savior. Isn't it interesting just when the Lord arrived? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore with Christ. Came the morning. After all, the Lord Jesus is the bright and the morning star. When we see the bright and the morning star, we know the dawn's not far away. We know it's about to dawn upon a new day. And for these disciples, when the Lord Jesus arrived on the shores of Galilee, that morning it was the dawn of a new day for those disciples. They labored all night and suddenly the bright and the morning star appeared. The arrival of Christ upon the scene, as we said, heralded the dawn of a new day. But then you think also of another title for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing in his wings. And you wake in early in the morning and it's still dark. And then gradually it gets a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter. Why? Because the sun's coming up. And when the sun comes up, what happens? The darkness disappears. And the shadows of the night are gone. That's what Christ does. He dispels the darkness and chases the shadows away. Isn't that what those disciples needed? Someone to lift the gloom in their lives. And that someone was the Lord Jesus. The one that Peter had denied. And the one that they all had deserted. And yet he's the very one who came seeking those disciples. And so with the morning came the Savior. With the morning came the stranger. Because we're told in verse 4 that Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So as far as they were concerned, this was a stranger on the shore. Now, different views have been put forth as to why the disciples didn't recognize the Lord. Different men have different views. I'll give you my view for what it's worth. My own view is that these disciples, who no doubt believed their ministries were finished, they didn't recognize the Lord because they didn't expect to see him there. Why would he come seeking them? Seeking Peter and James and John and Thomas and Nathaniel and the others? Why would the Lord, who had been offended by them, why would he come and seek out those disciples? That's why I believe they didn't recognize him, because they were surprised. They didn't expect the Lord Jesus Christ to come. That's why. They didn't expect him there. Yet he was the one who came to seek him. You think of Peter particularly. Remember how he denied the Lord 3 times. And the third time, when he was challenged about being one of the 12 and being a follower of the Lord Jesus, what did he say? Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Do you see how Peter tried to put as much distance between himself and Christ as he could? He used language that wasn't becoming a disciple of the Lord. He denied knowing Christ, but you'll notice something else. He couldn't even bring himself to use the Lord's name. He says, I know not the man. Couldn't even bring himself to use the Savior's name. And I believe that Peter particularly did not expect Christ to come and to be there that morning and to come and seek out those disciples because of what he had done and what he had said and how he had denied the Lord. He didn't expect the Lord to come. That's why he didn't recognize him along with the others. Because Peter no doubt believed that he was finished as a disciple, as a servant of the Lord. He didn't expect to see the Lord again. But the Lord came that morning. You notice the arrival of Christ. And then you have the address by Christ. So they had fished all night, caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. We should pay particular attention as to how the Lord addressed those disciples. He called them children. Children, have ye any meat? Is that not a most amazing thing? Certainly it was amazing that the Lord had come that morning seeking his disciples after what they had done. And then he comes and he addresses them. Children, have ye any meat? Children. He called them children. This speaks to us, first of all, of a relationship. He called them children. Now, back a few chapters in John, back to chapter 13. So it's before the cross. And back there, the Lord is addressing his disciples, and he addresses them in this way. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. In other words, he talked to them about the cross and what was coming up. But the point is, he spoke to them as children. He called them little children. Now, after the cross and after the resurrection and after the denials and the desertions, the Lord Jesus comes to the seas, the shores of Galilee, and he cries out to his disciples, children, have you any meat? In other words, even though they denied him, even though they deserted him, they were still his children. The relationship had not changed. The relationship between them and Christ had not changed. The fellowship had changed. The fellowship had been broken. The relationship had not been broken. But the fellowship had. The Lord, you see, will never abandon his children. For he is married to the backslider. And those disciples were still the children of God. But because of what they had done, their fellowship was broken. They weren't in fellowship with Christ here. So you have a relationship. There's something else. There's a respectfulness there. Because you see, the word that's used for children may also be rendered sirs. Sirs, have ye any meat? Isn't this amazing? And yet, isn't it what we expect from the Lord? Think of it. How would we address someone or individuals who had let us down, who had deserted us, and even in our hour of need, denied that they ever knew us? How would we feel when we would see those people again? Would we speak to them respectfully? How would we address them? Well, here the Lord spoke to those who had denied him, who had deserted him. He called them children. And he also spoke to them with respect, saying, sirs. This is who Christ is. This is who the Lord is. Just as he addressed Judas Iscariot in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas led that mob into the garden to arrest the Savior, and there's Judas. The Lord knew all the time Judas would betray him. And there he was with 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. That's all Christ was worth to him. And Judas steps forward to kiss the Savior. What did Christ say? How did the Lord address this arch traitor? He said, friend, wherefore art thou come? He called him friend. And here the disciples who had deserted him, who had denied him, he calls them children. He said, sirs, have ye any meat? This is who Christ is. Aren't we so unlike him? We need to pray, Lord, make me more like the Savior. Remember the beginning of his ministry? He's preaching in the synagogue in Nazareth. And those people turned against him. But the Lord read the scriptures there in the synagogue in Nazareth. And it is recorded. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Those words may be translated or may be rendered words of grace. And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace that came out, that proceeded out of his mouth, and nothing has changed, even there at the shores of Galilee. Still, gracious words proceed out of his mouth. You have the arrival of Christ and the address by Christ. And then you have the advice by Christ. When the Lord challenged the disciples, saying, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him with one word. One word with just two letters. No. There's another lesson. Here the Lord addresses those backslidden disciples and he challenges them, and they had little to say. They didn't have much to say. That in contrast to the time the Lord had sent them out to preach the gospel, and whenever they came back, they were overflowing with the news and telling the Lord what they had seen done and what they were able to do. But here the Lord challenges them, and they didn't have much to say. As I say, when the Lord challenges a backslider with his word, don't have much to say. But here the Lord gives advice, and he says in verse 6, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." That night the disciples had fished, caught nothing. So what does that tell us? For one thing, didn't have the Lord with them, of course, and the Lord directing them. But if the Lord said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship," they had obviously been casting the net on the wrong side of the ship. That's the way it is with backsliders. That's the way it is with someone who's out of step with the Lord. Not doing too many things that are right and in agreement with the Lord and his word. Think of it. They had labored all night. And caught nothing. And here the Lord tells them to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And he says, "And ye shall find." So they didn't have to spend hours and hours and more hours fishing. Once they would cast the net on the right side of the ship, they would have a catch. For the Lord said, "And ye shall find." And so the Lord promised them that they would be fruitful. You see, whenever you obey the Lord, you can claim the Lord's promise, and he'll make us fruitful. We've looked at the disappointment of the disciples, the directive for the disciples. Finally and quickly, you have the dining with the disciples. When the seven disciples followed the directive that was given by the Lord, we see what the result was. Verse 6, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes." There you have the catch. They were not able to draw for a multitude of fishes. Indeed, we are told how many fish they did catch. Verse 11, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. Given the exact number of fish, the night before the disciples hadn't caught anything. Regarding the catch, there's the miracle. It was a miracle in a number of ways. It was a miracle because of the location. The disciples had fished all night and they had caught nothing. Still the same Sea of Galilee. The location was the same. So it was a miracle then whenever they put down the net, they caught, filled the net with fish. It was a miracle because of the location. It was a miracle because of the light. You see, the disciples had fished all night. We know that here. We know that in Luke chapter 5. And another occasion, they fished at night. You see, that was the time to fish. Daytime wasn't the right time to fish. But here the Lord said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And it was daytime. And they filled the net. That tells us that whenever the Lord tells us to do something, doesn't matter what reason says, do what the Lord tells you. It was also not only the location made it a miracle, and the lot, or the light made it a miracle, but the lot, the number of fishes. 153. Disciples had labored all night and never caught one. We talk about little fish, the little spricks we call them. Well, they didn't even catch a sprick. They caught nothing. As well as the miracle, you have the master. Because we read in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Their eyes were opened by their miracle working power. Their eyes were opened. And then you have the call. What was the call? Verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. See, the Lord wrought the miracle that he might restore those disciples back to their first love. Come and dine. There's grace again. It's amazing, isn't it? No wonder John Newton penned those words, amazing grace. Because that's what it is. You think again what these disciples had done to the Lord, and yet here he is. Come and dine. Come and sit down with me. Just as we read in Hosea 14 and verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Boy, that's true, all right. Christ. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. And in spite of all that these disciples had done, he still loved them. And loved them freely. You have the catch. You have the call, come and dine. And then you have the communion. Where we read in verse 13, then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. There they are, sitting down. Eating their bread and their fish around a fire that the Lord had prepared. And the bread the Lord had prepared. Another fish the Lord had prepared. He did it all. For the benefit of these disciples. These backslidden disciples, and there how the Lord went after them. Wrought a miracle in a wonderful way. That he might bring those disciples back to himself. And there they are, sitting down in communion with him. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know how, on down the chapter, how the Lord restored Peter. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I've still a work for you to do, Peter. Boy, don't we have a great Savior. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, dear Lord, we bless thee again for the word, the encouragement we get from the word. We thank thee that thou art even willing to work a miracle, that thy servants might be drawn back into fellowship with thee. How thou, Lord, doth love us. And all our failures and falterings, we're still thy children. We're still sons of the King. We're still in the family of God. O Lord, have us to rejoice in our standing in Christ. Bless the word to us. And use it, Lord, to the glory of thy name. We ask thee now, Lord, that thou would be with us as we part the one from the other. Grant us all traveling mercy tonight. Keep thy hand upon us. Keep us safe on the highways. Be with us, Lord, until we meet again at the Master's feet. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.